somebody want to share something from their lives? Richard, you've got to start us.
Yeah, I'm the miserable old reprobate who sits in the back row and doesn't stand up for the worship. No, I am not. I'm the joyful Christian who seeks to serve and encourage everybody I meet. However, I must be the worst person in the church who never reads this Bible. You know, just to show how old I am, in my first job nearly 70 years ago, I can remember going to a Bible group and I had to take some Bible study. And in those days, and now, I get all my teaching from Sunday morning worship and the talks. And I was told then, you're living, Richard, on starvation rations. Well, a couple of weeks ago, sitting in the back row, I thought, you know, there's so much in the Bible that is absolutely fantastic. And I went home and I Googled favourite Bible verses. And I've got two pages of them here that are marvellous. I also remember getting the NIV Bible given to me here. And in the front of that, and there's a copy out there on the table, there is a list of things you can go to if you're in need of suffering from various things, fear, illness, whatever. Anyway, I thought I'd just tell you that here are three verses I've picked out for you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Then another one I found. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And I'm going to read a third one. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'd like to say that after the recent... I haven't actually got my iPad. I've got an iPad. I went to YouVersion, and I'm finding my way around that. So every morning when I have my coffee, I can look at a verse or read whatever I want to read. And I thoroughly recommend it. This shortcut's pretty good. Bless you.
Brilliant. Well done, Richard. Thank you, Richard. Bring that out, Richard. Come on. Other Richard. Here we go. What do you have up here this morning? This is before the meeting started. I saw this all written up. The very self-same verses. Yeah. So, at the end, if you need prayer at the end, Richard and the team at the back will be there to pray for you.
Yeah, I just want to keep going with what Richard was saying about there's the fruit of the Spirit, and against them there is no law. There's nobody going to stop you having more joy. There's nobody going to stop you having more peace. There's nobody going to stop you having more gentleness. You can have as much as you want. You can just keep going back to Holy Spirit and saying, can I come and have some more fruit, please? And just come and have some more and some more and some more.
Thanks, Richard. Okay.
All right, so Dave was talking about Larchfield earlier, and obviously we've built loads of relationships over the years in Larchfield. One of those ended up, one of the mums that I know ended up spilling her heart to me how their marriage was really rocky and it just didn't know a way forward, and so I don't know what else to do. So offered her prayer. I've also put it out to the wider prayer net, and she recently got back to me, and when I checked in with her, that her husband's a changed man. He's really trying, so we're not out of the woods, but it's made such a difference. Thank you so much for praying for us, because she's like, it's an absolute miracle. She said, I can't put it any other way. So that's really good. It's great to hear that our relationships are having fruit. And while we were worshipping, God put someone else on my heart. So I will talk to Linda. We need to go and pray with her. I really feel strongly that we need to go and pray with her. So, yes, yeah, can do. So it's a lady who's suffering with depression. And, yeah, Lord, I just really want to break it off her. I know that you want to heal her. And I know she knows you. So, Lord, I just pray that you break off that depression and make her whole again. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. There was a... When we were away, we visited a place in Colombia, and we happened to... There's another couple. We said, oh, should we share a taxi and go and have a look around this little town? And we did that. We'd not met these people before. People about our age. And when we got to the place, we were walking around, and at one point, Fiona and her husband were chatting to the chap that was showing us around, and the lady came up to me and just from nowhere said... My first husband died 8 years ago, and she'd been with this, the man she's with now, 5 years. But she said, you know, he was the love of my life, never replace him, my soulmate. And my heart just wept for this woman. You know, complete straight. I didn't ask any questions or anything. She just came out. And it was almost like she wanted to confess something. And I prayed about it later. And God revealed a couple of other things to do with the whole setup. And I was able to pray. But I didn't... We never conversed again. But I was thinking of the sadness in her. And, you know, what a contrast to what Carrie was saying about having... a loving father around, a loving God around you. If you're going through these things without any basis in your life, now what on earth do you do? I don't know how people survive like that. When I've gone through hard times, I've had that faith behind me, and it's a solid faith. It's real. People who don't understand that, it's really, really tricky. So... I think what this lady was doing, really, it was a sort of confession in a way. And I just wonder if there's maybe a couple of people here that need to confess to God things that are going on. He knows anyway. But I'm not suggesting you need to go and talk to anyone physically. If you can, if you want to, you can. But just to be at peace. I sense, you know, there's a couple of people probably here that aren't at peace. And just get it right with God. He knows anyway. They just... confess to him, say, you know, I don't want to be like that anymore. I want to move in a different direction. You know, think of the shirt, the good days. Look for the good days and enjoy them. Yeah. Yeah. End of sermon. Sorry, Terry. Did you want to say something, Terry?
Now I've got a story of God's goodness and answered prayer. And I was asking him as I came down, please give me a trigger if you want me to speak, because I will try and be brief, and he'll tell me if I'm not being brief, because if you're a preacher, you talk in other people's sleep, don't you? You know. So anyway, I'm moving away from Maidenhead. Lived here for 31 years, came here to be the Baptist minister all those years ago with Mo and my kids. And you don't need to know all the story in between, because those of you that know me for that length of time know the story, and I'm not going to repeat that. But just want to say that the trigger as I walked in was Sue. Where are you, Sue? Saying, I was thinking about Mo's funeral the other day. That's my wife who passed away about a year ago. And I thought, right, well, that's the trigger. I'm going to have to tell the story. I'm moving to High Wycombe. Because at some time in the future, probably near future, I'm getting married. Those of you that know me know that I've had a friendship with Marion for quite a few years now, because for the last seven years of her life, Mo hadn't got a clue who anybody was, didn't speak at all, and it was a virtual bereavement. I mean, Richard, who's just up here, knows all about that. You know, if you're wife or husband goes through that level of dementia, you lose them way before they've actually gone. So I'll leave you to imagine what the rest of the story is. But basically, Marion has been a massive support to me over these last almost 5 years now. But we have decided that we'd like to get married, and part of the need is to find a house. So here's the answer to prayer, okay? We started praying, God, please show us where you want us to be, where there's a house that we can afford the rent on. And I saw a place out at Wickham which looked absolutely suitable. We hadn't looked at any other places so far. We thought it was going to take us at least a year to find anywhere. And we went and looked at it. We prayed before we went, Lord, if this is the place, please show us. If it isn't, please prevent us from making a silly mistake. We had a look round, and it is amazing. It's got a big man cave in the garden, a proper log cabin, 3 metres by 5 metres, that I can go and sit and play my ukulele and study and paint and all those good things. It's an amazing place. And also, Marion at the moment lives in a house where there's deer that jump across the field. And we were looking out of the rear window, out into the countryside, and there's this deer leaps across. And then to cap it all, we're talking to the agent, and, you know, I like to talk about Jesus if I can bring him into the conversation. I hope that's all right. And obviously, I shared the fact that I was a retired Baptist minister. And she went, wow, this house is owned by a lady whose father was a Methodist minister, and it used to belong to him, and he wanted it to be used by retired ministers. Now, can you find another house within a 20-mile radius that used to belong to a retired minister who wanted it to be used by a retired minister, that's got deer leaping across the back, and has got a man cave that's big enough for me to lose myself in? So I just want to say thank you, Lord. I'm moving in over the next few weeks. We haven't got a clue how the rest of it all maps out, but I've so appreciated your understanding and your prayers. Not everybody's been happy about my friendship with Marion prior to Mo's death, but most of you have, and we really appreciate your love and support in all of that. So God's good.
Amen. Yeah, we just pray a blessing on you, Terry. Good for the future. Did you want to?
Thank you, Terry. That's brilliant. So, one of the things that we've been hearing about, obviously, in terms of all the stories that we've heard so far, are different stories, different testimonies. And actually, this week, reading through Proverbs, I came across a verse in Proverbs 11:25, and it says, "The generous will prosper; those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed." So, be encouraged. If you've got a story, a testimony, no matter how small, no matter how big, it doesn't really matter. But do come and share, because you never know who it's going to encourage, who it's going to be refreshed. Richard, I am refreshed by what you were talking about today, massively refreshed. So, yeah, everyone be encouraged and be refreshed by the stories that others are sharing. And the other thing I wanted to share from last week is that since the beginning of the year, I've been reading my Bible in the New Living Translation. Now, I've classically always stayed a firm NIV man, because that's a good, solid translation. I know that it's good, solid stuff. And actually, what Ruth was saying is that sometimes try a new translation, try a different way of the same thing, and maybe God will speak to you. And in Ephesians 2:10, NLT says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." And that really spoke to me, because in the NIV, that same verse is equally powerful, but instead of the word masterpiece, it says handiwork. And I've read that verse countless times in the NIV, and handiwork has never really filtered through to my heart. But God's masterpiece, we are all God's masterpiece, his magnum opus, not an ice cream, his masterpiece, his best. He has spent so much time and effort thinking about each and every one of us, and that's really encouraged me. So if you have an iPad or a smartphone, get this U version. Speak to Richard if you need any technical support. There are countless different translations, and give them a go, because you might be surprised.
Thanks.
All over the place. Sorry, Andy. It's really ladies first. Now, There's nothing I can do with that, is there? I'm just going to shut up now and move on. So I've been greatly encouraged with the YouVersion too. And the thing that I've used it for years, the thing that I've started to do is I've made friends with a few people around the room, which has encouraged me to be a little bit more accountable. Actually, Ben's nodding at me. He's one of them. So goodness only knows what's coming next. But I've also gone back to, you can mark things up, you can bookmark them, you can highlight them, you can share them, you can put notes in, and you can go back and review those regularly. And I'm reading through the letters at the moment just the letters at the back end of the New Testament, and I just on Hebrews. Hebrews 11 is one of my favorites, and it starts with all the heroes of the Old Testament. And it starts with right the way at the beginning, goes through lengthy bits on Abraham. David gets a passing mention, and it ends like this. All these heroes of the faith, I say David and Abraham are two of my great, great heroes. These were all commended for the faith, and this is the bit. Yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Oh, what an awesome thought. There's my heroes that God commended, and somehow they can only come into the fullness of what it is that God promised them through me and you. What an awesome thought.
Thank you. Andy.
One of the things that I love about the Bible is just how rubbish everybody is in it, because I just emphasize with that. And one of the things when Moses is out in the desert, they just keep forgetting about what God's done in the past. And I do that all the time. And I love the fact that God is just so faithful. And I've shared in church before, my mum's been terminally ill for a while. She's in a nursing home now. And God has really blessed me and blessed mum through that journey. And he continues to do that. And my mum's got lung cancer, and she's a very heavy smoker. She always has been. And I've given up now trying to get her to stop, because it's a bit late. And she needs to go out for cigarettes. She can't smoke in the nursing home. And the nursing home are struggling to do that. And that's really sad for my mum. And I don't want her to be sad. She's the most important person to me. And so I sent Hannah Lucas a Facebook message to say, I don't suppose you know anyone who could go and every day and take mum out. And she said, oh, yeah, I know somebody local. She could do that for you. And so I sent this woman a text message, say, hi, Angela, Hannah's given me your details, could you pop over? And I think it's a really strange thing to do, isn't it? This woman I've never met, could you go and take mum out for a cigarette every afternoon? So we arranged this week for her to come over, and she turned up at 8 o'clock, bang on the dot. I opened the door, and there's James's mum. And James is a friend of my son's, Bill's, and they grew up together. And she's looking at me going, oh, Bill's mum. And it was just such a blessing to know that actually this isn't a stranger. This is somebody that God's picked and that's going to look after mum and is really going to change her life. And I just think that's just a reminder once again, God's carrying me through this. It's a really difficult time, but actually every so often God tells me again, I'm here for you, Andy, and I am caring for you in this process. And you think, isn't that amazing? And he'll do it again, because I will forget, give it another month, and I'll be thinking, this is just horrendous. But he will be there, and he will bless me again.
Thank you. That's really encouraging. Really encouraging. Yeah, he wants to bless all of us, in the small details as well as the large. Andrew, do you want to share?
Yeah, meanwhile, back in Hebrews 11, one of the verses is, it says, by faith the elders obtained a good testimony. So it's actually about faith. It's about stepping out. It's about using that jar of risk. And I apologise to the people I told this story before, but it's wherever we are. Like most mornings, I spend a bit of time in the swimming pool, swimming, and there's this lady who's originally from Australia, and we started talking about Australia, and then she said to me, she said, "Oh, my back's killing me." So I said, "Oh, would you like me to pray for you?" She said, "Oh, yes, please." And there we are in the swimming pool, wearing not a lot, and she turns her back on me so that I can pray for her back. And then, so I just, simple prayer, you know, pray. And she turns around, gives me a big hug and a kiss, and since then she'd be calling me sweetheart. But the next day, she said, she had a big loud voice, "Oh, thanks for yesterday." And I thought, oh. But she said, "I had no pain at all for the rest of the day." Praise God.
Thank you. Did you want to share?
I had a couple of sort of things going on, and one day I just wake up thinking of this verse, and I is the one that, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." So I googled it, and I wanted to put exactly like it's written in the Bible: plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So that's Jeremiah 29:11-13. And then, so I put this on Facebook just to share with a couple of my friends I have. I only have 50 friends. The next day, I woke up, and for the last 2 years, I promised to God I'll wake up and I will just read a verse of the day from an app that I have. And the verse, it was exactly this one. And I was shaking, I was happy, I was like, I could feel that God wanted to know. But a part of that, I was a bit curious to look around others' versions. And there is different way of writing, it's the same thing. So it says, "This is God's word on the subject. As soon as Babylon's 70 years are up, and not a day before, I will show up and take care of you as I promised, and bring you back home. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you a future you hope for. When you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I will listen. When you come looking for me, you will find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, I will make sure you won't be disappointed. That's God's decrees. I will turn things around for you. I will bring you back from all the countries into which I drove you." And by the way, I'm foreign, and I'm coming from another country. "And God's decrees bring you home to the place from which I sent you off into exile. You can count on it." And then 2 days later, I meet a friend of mine, a very good friend, and she's reading me the same verse. She said, "I was reading the same thing." And that's the third thing happens, that when, you know, God speaks to you.
So it's those things, those personal things, you know God is looking after you, don't you? And it's personal. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I'm sure that's true. That's an encouragement. Do you like?
2 years ago, my father died very suddenly in Spain on his own. It's quite traumatic because my mother died 8 weeks later. She was here. And we've been trying to sell their house in Spain. It's a big house, so it's not been easy to do it. And I kept giving it to God, saying, please help me, because every time we still had the house and I would go there, it was a constant reminder that this house was becoming more and more derelict, and I had some very good memories of it. And I gave it to God, and I kept giving it to him, and I kept giving it to him. And eventually, he put his hand on my head and said, I know the plans I have for you, and I have got this. Trust me, it will work. On Monday, I wasn't even thinking about it. I got an email to say the house had been sold. I did not know that it was even going through. We'd had a lot of people that had gone and seen it. We will have it, and nothing happened. And I do believe there's people here holding on to things. And the Lord is saying to me to say to you, give it to him, because he knows the plans he has for you. You have to trust him. And that's, I think, probably where I wanted to do it in my time, under my steam. But you know what? We can't. We have to give it to him, and he will work it out for us, because he's watching us all the time.
Thank you. Right, we have time for one more, and then I'm going to let you play another song before your hands seize up. Oh, two more.
Hello. Yesterday, my granddaughter Katie got married, and the speech that her daddy gave, the father of the bride, it reminded me of the way that our Heavenly Father is our father, and we are the bride. And Peter talked about the hair that Katie was born with. When she was born, she had this mop of black tomahawk hair style, and how over the years her hairstyles have changed, and now his own wife, my lovely daughter Helen, hasn't got any hair because she's gone through chemotherapy. So hair has been predominant in major steps during their lives. But I was reminded of our Heavenly Father. He knows every hair on our head, whether we've lost it through normal baldness or medical conditions or anything. He knows every hair on our head, and he loves and he's concerned, and we are his lovely children. He is our Heavenly Father.
Thank you, Desi. Amen to that. Right, final.
About a year and a half ago, I was happy in my job, but the things weren't entirely right. In my mother was getting quite old, and quite honestly, her health was failing and going downhill quite rapidly. We had great hopes that she would recover, but she wasn't doing well. She needed sort of a lot of visiting and taking care of. At the same time, my wife was, to put it bluntly, she was sort of really struggling at work, suffering from a lot of stress, and it was only a matter of time before she'd have to stop work. And one day work sort of called me up and said, well, you know what, we're not doing so well, we're going to have to let you go. I said, really? I said, well, how much notice have I got? Oh, no notice, you don't have a job as of now. I said, oh, okay, well, they'll give me more time to spend with mum. And so I actually went off and spent a lot of time in the hospital. And then, Max was struggling more and more work, and it became obvious she wasn't going to be able to hold on to that. So we were faced from going down to two incomes to none. We just remortgaged the house, and we were looking at, you know, the only option was to put it on the market. Things weren't looking good. 2 days after I was laid off, Mum died. But in between times, I spoke to God, I prayed to God, and God said, well, you know what you need to do, take care of your mum, be with her in her last days, however long those might be, I'll take care of the rest. day after Mum died, I got an email from someone I hadn't spoken to, been an old client of mine, I hadn't spoken for months, and said, we need some help. I said, well, okay, this is all right. Not a lot. But then the following week, an old employer of mine said, we need some help, indefinitely, for time, and we don't want you permanently, we'll give you consultant rates. So basically, we all of a sudden had double the income. And God just took care of us and continues to do so to today. And it's just put your faith in God. He will carry you through everything. Just do it.
Thank you. Just let that peace of God just rest on you. Just thank you so much, everyone, for sharing this morning.